Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Of course, it's time for another interesting edition of Doctor's Round with A.G. Ahmed.
Welcome to Spiritual Nigeria Radio. My name is Dr. Ahmed, and you're here again on Doctor's Round. This is our program where we talk about various health issues. And today we'll be talking about another very important and common problem. This is a program in partnership with Transforming, Uplifting, and Reforming Nigeria, TURN. And it is a program that is also broadcast on our sister radio, Life Radio in Ibadan. Welcome to Doctor's Round. Today, we're bringing back one of our previous guests, and he's going to be talking about this very important and common problem. As usual, we're going to have our in-house Mr. LJ Daddy, starting us off with a case, and we're going to be taking your questions. Remember, this is your program. Feel free to call us at any time. The number to call is 0705-320-1010. If you're calling from outside Nigeria, do not forget the prefix plus 234. Today, we're going to be talking about low back pain, and leading us in this discussion is Dr. Olayinka Agbejule. Dr. Agbejule, if you remember, was on this program talking about pain in general, but today is going to be more specific. He's an anesthesiologist and pain specialist, a graduate of Ogun State University. He completed specialty training in anesthesia and pain medicine from Sheffield University Teaching Hospital, and has been practicing for over two decades. He has practiced in many countries: Nigeria, South Africa, United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia, and now he's practicing his trade in Canada. He's a consultant at St. Thomas Roderick Hospital in Stephenville, Western Newfoundland. He has extensive experience in anesthesiology and has an enviable record in the treatment of patients with chronic pain in general. Welcome back to Doctor's Round, Dr. Agbejule.
Thank you very
much. How are you?
I'm all right.
To see you.
Thank you very much.
I understand that COVID is clearing up and we're all very happy, but we cannot forget to keep ourselves those basic preventive measures, right? Use your mask, wash your hand, use the sanitizer, and make sure you get vaccinated. But then, how has COVID affected your practice?
Well, it has affected my practice in so many ways, because with the COVID, patients were not allowed to come to the hospital, only emergencies. So, and the practice of pain is deemed to be an elective practice. So no elective patients comes to the hospital, meaning that the pain practice was stopped.
Wow.
For a while. And then
pain has a lot of impact on lifestyle that you'll be telling us about, right?
Okay. Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. And majority of the patients perhaps were not even able to do their exercises. The gyms are closed, so meaning that the pain may have gotten worse during this period.
Wow.
So it was a great impact.
Wow. Okay. Why don't we start today's show? Maybe some of your patients are listening in Newfoundland and some of the patients you've treated in the past. We have LJ Daddy. He's going to present a case to you. LJ Daddy.
Hello, doctor. Oh. Doctor. Doctor, please, can you help me? This is LJ Daddy. My back has been paining me for a long time. Before, I used to carry heavy load. I carry heavy load. I see another doctor. The doctor say I need to exercise, that maybe I'm overweight, that I'm fat. So I start to eat less. I don't eat like before. I have reduced the food. Then I say I should exercise. I try to exercise, but Junior goes to gym. So I say, okay, maybe it's good for me to also go to gym. I follow Junior to gym. I buy exercise clothes. I see the young boys, small boys carrying big weights. So I say, I will try and carry weight. I try and carry the big weights. I want to show them and the daddy. Then my back just do kai. I say, yay, I'm injured myself today. My back have been paining me since. That's why I need help. Please, doctor, help me. I asked my friend. Someone say it's jedi. Another person say it's another type of back pain. And someone even say maybe I can't perform again. Doctor, I'm very worried. This is LJ Daddy. Please help me. My back is paining me very much. Please. Thank you, doctor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, LJ Daddy. There you go, Dr. Agbejule. What's going on?
Wow. Well, LJ Daddy has got a typical low back pain that most of my patients have. And there are some risk factors here that I can already pick out. LJ Daddy is overweight. He's been carrying heavy load. And he also went to the gym and started lifting heavy weights. So those are all risk factors that are causing his low back pain. We are going to be discussing a lot about this as we go along. And I don't think it's jedi, because there is nothing like that in medical terminology. So I think the best thing is to for LJ Daddy to listen to our discussion today. And then he will be helped with this discussion. Thank you very much.
So LJ Daddy can listen to this and consult with his doctor later on. What are the causes of low back pain?
All right, low back pain, well, can be classified, the causes can be classified into two main ways. is it that you classify it by moving from your skin, you know, inwards? You have low back pain arising from the structures such as the muscles and the soft tissue, which can be strained. You can get arthritis affecting the joints in the spine. A vertebra may be out of place or even fractured sometimes. You can get bony growths on vertebrae that crowd the nerves. You may have damaged, bulging, or torn discs. And the discs usually in the spine are regarded as the shock absorber that you have in your cars and your trucks. You can get narrowing of the spinal canal, in which case the nerves that comes out of the spinal cord gets affected. It could also be as a result of a tumor or infection. Now, moving on, classifying this in another way, you can classify it as non-specific causes of back pain. And this is what majority of our patients present with. And we say about 85% of the patients have this. And most of the time, it's musculoskeletal pain. And most of them will improve within a few weeks. The other classification here is the serious systemic cause, which accounts for just less than 1% of patients with low back pain. And patients have either of the following. They may have a spinal cord or caudal equina contraction. When caudal equina means that the nerves that are the tail end of the spinal cord in the spine gets compressed. It could be as a result of metastatic cancer, a cancer that is spreading into the spine. It could also be as a result of a spinal epidural abscess or vertebral osteomyelitis, right, which is an infection basically in the spine. The low back pain also may be as a result of less serious or specific causes. And this accounts for less than 10% of our patients with low back pain. These patients have either of the following: vertebral compression fractures. And this occurs in about 4% of patients. Radiculopathy, meaning that the symptoms or impairment related to the spinal root or spinal stenosis. Other causes of low back pain may be ankylosing spondylitis, which is a degenerative condition, osteoarthritis, scoliosis, which is a curvature in the spine, psychological stress, or it could also be as a result of causes outside the spine, such as herpes-zoster shingles infection, urinary tract infection. It could be an aneurysm, the artery inside the big artery inside the abdomen becoming distended. Or it could be as a result of pancreatitis or nephrolithiasis or urinary tract kidney stones. So those are the main causes that we could talk about, really, Dr. Ahmed.
So it seems as if there's a lot of causes. Some are more serious than others. How does one differentiate?
Yeah. To differentiate.
Is there any way I can differentiate as a patient?
As a patient, probably not. You really need to go and see your family doctor to be able to help you in differentiating it. And that will be done through history, physical examination, and relevant investigations, which we will be talking about later.
So as a patient, there's no way I could tell whether I'm having the serious type or it's just the common ones that you're talking about.
Unless you are a patient who has been to a medical school.
At the beginning of this discussion, LJ Daddy was talking about certain risk factors, and you alluded to them. What are the common risk factors that can make low back pain worse?
Right. In my clinic, I normally tell my patients about 5 common risk factors. And I say all these 5 to them and get them to tell me how many of those risk factors they've got. So the 5 common risk factors for low back pain are patients with injury to the spine, patients who carry or do heavy manual physical work, patients who are overweight, patients who smoke or are still smoking, patients who have got diabetes mellitus. So those five common risk factors are the causes of low back pain. There are other risk factors here which may be particular to different patients. Age, increasing age, female gender, sedentary work, abnormal gait with leg length discrepancy, abnormal posture, psychological factors such as anxiety and depression. All these are risk factors. Thank you, Dr. Ahmed.
How common then is low back pain? Is this a common condition or is it rare?
Low back pain is very, very common. And it is estimated that up to 84% of adults have low back pain at some point in their lives. And that's a 84%. Huge number. 84%.
That's a large percentage.
Absolutely. That's a huge number. And for many of these individuals, the episodes of back pain are usually self-limiting. And you could have different classes of this. It could be acute low back pain, which will be pain up to 4 weeks. A subacute low back pain with pain ranging between 4 and 12 weeks. Or chronic low back pain when it becomes more than 12 weeks. And rarely, low back pain is a harbinger of serious medical illness. So while we're talking about this, I just want to define the term sciatica, which many patients talk about. Sciatica is a non-specific term used to describe a variety of. Usually, sciatica refers to a sharp or burning pain radiating down from the buttock along the course of the sciatic nerve. And this area is usually the posterior or lateral aspect of the leg, usually to the foot or the ankle. Thank you. You
can go ahead. Posterior now, Doc. Which part are you describing?
Oh, the posterior, the back of the legs.
Right.
And the side of the leg also. The side of the leg, the outer side of the leg.
Right. So if I were a downfall driver and usually I drive from Abeokuta to Lagos, and by the time I get to Oshodi, I start having back pain from the back to the lower side of the leg and it's recurring, should I be suspecting that I might have sciatica?
Possibly, but that's, you may need to consider all those other risk factors that we talked about. Maybe the downfall driver is overweight as well.
There you go. First, you're quite right on that one. They may be overweight and so on. You're still listening to Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we're talking about low back pain. Our guest is Dr. Agbejule, a pain specialist. Now, you've told us what could cause low back pain. You've told us about different types. How do you generally manage low back pain? What do you do?
Good. Thank you very much for that. Managing low back pain, when we talk about management in medicine, it includes history, physical examination, investigations, and treatment strategies. So a patient who has a low back pain needs a thorough consultation with their physician. It is not a rushed consultation. And this consultation is focused on history, physical examination, investigations, and discussion of treatment plan. The minimum consultation for a new patient in my clinic is 1 hour. And the follow-up, the time is about 15 minutes. So it is not a consultation that you will do in 10 minutes. You will not do a thorough job. So the consultation will be successful if the physician is able to listen to the patient, allay their fears about their pain, educate them about their pain, find out and manage their expectations of that meeting. If you are not able to do all these, it's going to be a failed consultation. So the history is focused mainly on about the site of pain, the onset, where does the pain radiate to, where does the pain go to, yeah, whether there was any injury or not. What are the aggravating or relieving factors? You want to know all this. Has this patient been getting bladder or bowel incontinence? You want the patients to give you a number for how severe the pain is, which we call a pain score.
Doc, how reliable is that question?
It's very, very subjective, Dr. Ahmed, but it is still, it gives you as the family doctor or the pain specialist some idea of how the patient is perceiving their pain. You want to ask about the current treatment, including pharmacological and non-pharmacological treatment. That means drug and non-drug treatment. You want to ask about other medical diseases that this patient have, whether they have got any fever, history of smoking, any allergies to any medications, if the effect of the pain on their sleep and their mood. You need to ask about the patient's understanding of their pain. What have they been told that is the cause of this pain? And then whether they've had any previous explanation about the cause of their pain and how much they understand of that. And then you also want to know what their expectation of the meeting with you is, whether there is any particular treatment that they are looking for. Because if they have a particular treatment in mind and you as the physician, you are giving them something different, it's going to be a failed consultation.
Right.
So then we go on to physical examination, which in general, the purpose of the physical examination is to identify features that suggest that further evaluation is indicated, rather than to make a primary diagnosis. And this usually includes general inspection of these patients. You want to look at how the patient is walking, usually their gait, yeah. You check the range of motion, you inspect the patient's back and posture. And this usually can reveal scoliosis or hyperkyphosis. You put your hand on the back of
this. What are those? What do you mean by scoliosis, hyperkyphosis? Okay. These are a big name, Doc.
These are big names, I know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, scoliosis is the type of curvature of the spine. Even kyphosis, they are curvatures in the spine. So you can get curvatures onto the sides, you can get curvature outwards, you can get curvature inwards. So you palpate, you put your hand on the back of this patient for area of tenderness or whether there were any muscle spasm. These are all part of the physical examination. The investigations that you do, they usually can be imaging or non-imaging investigations. There are very few non-imaging investigations. You only do that in patients where you are suspecting infections in the spine. Most of the investigations are radiology imaging. And the investigations that we do either an MRI or a CT or a plain X-ray of the spine, depending on what you're looking for. And all these are dependent on what information you have got from the history. And I have to say here that it is not all these patients that needs these investigations, because the investigations make you to detect informations from those imaging that will want the physician to go and start.
That the patient, you will advise the patient to do.
The education, the exercises, the risk factor management. And there are different types of exercise here that we're talking about. You can talk about walking, you can talk about aerobic exercises, you can talk about stretching exercises, Pilates, yoga, massage. There's so many of them. Tense machine. Yeah. Those of us in Canada here see adverts of Dr. Ho on the television. It's also one of the treatment options. Acupuncture is another option. Yeah. So medications, should I go into medications now?
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll probably be discussing medication. You're still listening to Doctors Round on Spirit of Nigerian Radio, and you might have lost us briefly because of some technical difficulties. We're now going to take a musical break and come back.
This mean we go tell you now. Capita when no no you walk na suwegbe.
Na suwegbe o.
Capita when no no you walk na suwegbe. Doctor, where they do like a liar, Nasuwegbe. Commissioner, when no no you walk on Nasuwegbe. We don't finish for Suwegbe. Now, for Baku. Capita, when no you walk on Baku.
Yes, our goal on Doctor's Round is to ensure that patient can ensure that the doctors are behaving like doctors. They're able to ask the right question. They're able to talk about what their concerns are. And that was a good number to lead us into this other discussion. So welcome back to Doctor's Round. And we're talking about low back pain. You were just going to start talking about medication. As a segue, the question of medication in low back pain has generated a lot of discussion. Some say medication is useful. You've talked about non-medicinal, and you'll be telling us more. But there's the risk associated with this medication and so on. So let's start. Is there a place for medication and for how long?
Okay, good. Thank you very much, Dr. Ahmed. Medication is important and has a place. Pain medication, it is important to use them regularly rather than when needed. That's one of my observations for the reasons why many of our patients' pain are not well managed. Because they treat pain when they need to treat it, when the pain is there. And that is wrong. And I always give an analogy to my patients. I say, patients who have got epilepsy, they don't wait for the epilepsy to come on before they start looking for their medications to control it. They will take their medications to prevent the fit from starting. So it's the same way that we treat pain. So you got to take your pain medication on a regular basis so as to prevent the pain from getting worse. So I usually start with simple analgesia, such as acetaminophen, and which could be called paracetamol, Panadol, Tylenol, depending on which part of the world you are practicing, and with or without non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, such as ibuprofen, Voltaren, and so on. And those are usually leave those in patients who can take them, but usually for a short period, because there are more side effects to those type of medications, in many of our patients. I will add a neuromodulator such as an antidepressant or an antiepileptic if there is a suspicion of nerve damage associated with their pain. And we need to remember to always start these patients on a lower dosage of these medications and gradually build up the dosages to ensure compliance. Because if the patient is started on a very high dose and they are hit by the side effects of this medication, the compliance becomes poor. The use of opioids has no place in the management of this type of patients. So this is a big topic. And I want to leave it there because it's another radio program to discuss that.
On its own, yeah.
On his own, yes. The medications that we use, usually they are safe, especially if the patients use them the way they are asked to use them. Yeah, so if they don't take the medication in overdosages. All medications have side effects, and the side effects are even worse when they are taken in overdosages. But even the side effects that are associated with the normal dosages of the medications, it is not all of them that are common. So you have to explain to your patients the common side effects to the medications that you are prescribing for them. So we've gone out of the days when doctors try to hide the name of the medications from their patients and, preventing them from knowing what medications are being prescribed for them. I had the talk last week about that. And I always say to my patients that an adult liver is able to cope with 4 grams, which is 500 milligram of acetaminophen or paracetamol, Panadol or Tylenol per day. So if you don't exceed that, then your liver will be able to cope with this. The only group of people who have to be managed in a different way are those who have liver problems. If they don't have any liver problems, then their body chemistry should be able to cope with 8 maximum of 500 milligram paracetamol a day.
Just before you go on, Doc, how long do you, you're talking about taking this medication, you're talking about its effects on other organs, the liver, you're talking about its effects on the kidney. How long do you take this medication for?
Well, for as long as it's necessary, Dr. Ahmed, or for as long as they are in pain. For as long as it's necessary or as long as they are in pain.
The long run, are there harmful effects?
No.
Provided you take it within the recommended doses.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there a place for a combination? You talk about non-steroidal and you talk about paracetamol. Is there a place for a combination of these? Some patients will say the two have been combined. What if there is a place? What informs such combination?
Yes, there is a place for the combination, but we got to be mindful of the fact that there are the drugs, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, the ibuprofen and the likes, are predisposing more patients to side effects than the paracetamol and the Tylenol. So I always say to my patients, if they are not giving you any problem, then you can reserve them to be taken on as when needed type. Yeah. But it is not to be taken on a regular basis like I would recommend them to take the acetaminophen.
What informed the choice? What is it that inform your choice of whether you're going to give paracetamol or you're going to give non-steroidal?
Yeah, what informed my choice is in my history. When we were taking the history, we had taken the full history about this patient, about coexisting medical conditions. Patients who have cardiac problems, I will not give them non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Patients who have already got kidney problems, I would not give them non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Patients who have gastrointestinal problems like peptic ulcer disease or gastritis or irritable bowel syndromes and all these likes, I will not give them non-steroidal anti-inflammatories.
It's really interesting to know, so that the patient will empower themselves rather than going to the pharmacy across the road, which is common in certain places, to buy this medication. At least be informed about what you're getting so that you decide on the medication you're taking. Yeah. Is there a place at all for non-medicinal alternatives?
Yeah, there are the non-medicinal alternatives that we have here. As I mentioned, regular exercise, physiotherapy, being active, avoiding and managing the risk factors, acupuncture, TENS machine. I also have nerve blocks, epidural steroids, facet joint injections, nerve root injections as deemed necessary, when you assess these patients. These are all specialist type of injections, which we do. And then also we have to always involve the psychologists and the psychiatrists like yourself in managing some of these patients. The psychiatrists manage the depression and anxiety that comes with the low back pain that these patients are getting. And the psychologists help these patients to give them, you know, tasks that will help them to cope with their pain. Those are the non-medicinal options that I've got. Dr. Ahmed, please go ahead. Hello.
All right, looks like we have a challenge there with Dr. Ahmed. And of course, it's still Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Don't worry, if it happens in Nigeria, it can happen in Canada too. Looks like it's locked up with the internet disruption. And of course, we'll continue with that. Okay, so Doc, let me just ask you, is it possible for you to take too much of analgesics? Because I was wondering when you said that it's better to prevent it. So that means that the patient must have presented himself or herself, you know, for pain.
Yeah, you cannot take too much of an analgesic as long as you are taking the right dose and the right medication. If you are in pain, but if you are not in pain, there's no need for you to use any of these medications.
Okay.
If you are not in pain, there's no need for you to use any of these medications. But you have to, you know, use them, you know, appropriately and in the right dosages. So I know that, you know, in Nigeria, there are so many people who goes on their motorbikes or on their feet, you know, selling different types of drugs to patients, to people on the street. And they put so many in together. You don't know what you're taking.
Mm.
This is wrong. And that's why so many patients will have liver damage, kidney damage, even heart problems. So this type of practices should be discouraged completely.
Okay, if you look at the issue of overweight and you've linked it to back pain, what are the solutions to that? And I'm not talking about myself, but somebody close to me.
Well, the solution to being overweight is to reduce the weight. Yeah, reduce the weight. I always tell my patients that once the weight is reduced, you are 50%, your pain is going to be 50% better.
Mm. All right, so how do you manage back pain that moves gradually from lower back to upper region of the back? That's a question from one of our listeners. We just sent it by WhatsApp.
It is still the same pain that is in the lower back that is moving up in the spine, because all these areas are connected together by muscles. So it is not as if, you know, the pain that you got that is in your lower back is now going up in the up in your spine. It is still the same pain that is going the same other way.
Okay, all right, but the tendency is that the older you get, the more vulnerable or at risk you are with pain. Especially with the lower back. So how do you resolve that as an individual?
Well, there's nothing to do about aging. You can't stop aging. So it's something that we all have to accept. You know, but we all have to accept that, you know, aging is going to be part of our lives. And the pain that comes, you know, is going to be part of the aging process. And we just need to manage it better. Make sure that we don't add more weight. If we are smoking, we stop smoking. many patients have asked me, you know, how does smoking affect, you know, or cause low back pain?
True.
And I said to them, the same way that smoking causes patients to have a heart attack, is the same way that the smoking is causing those patients to have a low back pain. Because the same smoking that causes the reduction in the blood supply to the structures, and that's exactly the way it happens. So give it up and then your pain will be better. And I'm not saying that once you give up smoking, your pain is going to be gone. Your pain, what you are doing is that when you give up smoking, the damage that you have done over the years of smoking are still going to be there, but you are preventing further damage.
All right, AG is back. Over to you, AG.
Welcome back, Dr. Ahmed.
Yes, my apologies. That's the price for being in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about this age, posture, gender, smoking, and so on, and the chronicity of the problem, can you comment on the prognosis? What is the likely outcome? I mean, what is the outcome for an individual who has chronic low back pain?
Right. The prognosis for acute low back pain is excellent. And only 1/3 of these patients seek medical care at all. And of those who present for care, 70 to 90% of them will improve within 7 weeks. Recurrences are common, affecting up to 50% of these patients within 6 months, and 70% within 12 months. Even the recurrences have favorable prognosis. 5 to 10% of patients with acute low back pain go on to develop chronic low back pain. And predictors of disabling chronic low back pain at 1 year, they include maladaptive coping behaviors, such as fear avoidance or catastrophizing. Catastrophizing is a belief that your pain is going to get worse, or your pain is going to kill you. Just to put it literally for understanding. Those who have functional impairment, those who have poor general health status, and the presence of psychiatric comorbidities such as anxiety and depression. Go ahead, Dr. Ahmed. Sir.
So these are the factors that were affected, and you've got to treat those factors to make the prognosis better.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, visiting most people who have low back pain are probably still, although they're late middle age, they're probably still working. Are there special accommodations that you recommend, common accommodation that you recommend?
Common accommodation?
Yes.
Okay, I don't understand what you mean by common accommodation.
For instance, if I were working in an office, are there accommodations? Can I request for a special desk? Can I request for special chair? Is that possible?
Oh yes, yeah. These are all part of the occupational ergonomic assessments that needs to be made. You know, and every organization must have an employee health or occupational health department, you know, that looks after all their staff. So if the patient has a low back pain, just like we said that patients who have a leg length discrepancy has to be referred to an orthotic to make an insole for their shoes so that they don't walk one side up, one side down all the time, you know, the same way you're gonna treat those patients who have low back pain and who are walking. So you want to make sure that the kind of chair that they are sitting on is structured in such a way that it does not put them in an abnormal posture, that's going to continue to make their pain worse.
Interesting. Thank you very much. You're still listening to Doctor's Round. We're about coming to the end of this program. We've got 2 minutes to go. Do you have any advice at all? Any other thing you want to say to our listeners about managing low back pain in the next 4 to 5 seconds?
Yeah. Seek medical help, Helen. Maintain a healthy, active lifestyle. Always ask your doctors questions and get a better understanding of your condition. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Abujalade. That's another fascinating episode talking about low back pain. You've told us about the essentials, and we hope to have you back on the program. On behalf of Spirit of Nigerian Radio, Life Radio in Ibadan, I want to thank you for coming up on the program again. Thanks to the producer and the technical crew. My name is AJ Ahmed. The doctor will be back next week. Have a great evening.
Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.